Mel Barnett scoring for Central Christian and cutting the lead down to four. Four straight for Central Christian out of their timeout. Carly Brummer coming the other way with 5:45 to play. Brummer, dribble drive baseline, kicks into the corner. Katie for three, left corner. Yes! A huge triple from Katie Brummer to get it back to seven. 37-30, Lady Jays. Inbound play for Central Christian. Coffin crossover, dribble cross half court. Here's a three at the buzzer. It won't matter. It's off the mark. And for the second time in the past three seasons, the St. John's Tipton Lady Blue Jays are headed to the 1A Division II state semifinals. They win it 45-40 over Central Christian, and they will move on to take on the number two seed undefeated Hanover coming out Friday here in Great Bend.
Yeah, we'll have that game for you on Katy Country 94 and katycountry94.com coming up tomorrow. Pregame at 1:45 and tip-off at 2 o'clock for that semifinal matchup. It's going to be a tough task for the Lady Jays. Hanover, a very good team. They dominated yesterday in their opener at State 63-32 over Sharon Springs to improve to 24-0. And again, St. John's Tipton winning 45-40 over Central Christian yesterday. I'll have more on that coming up here in moments. Again, we will hear from Lance Bergman, the head coach of the St. John's Tipton boys, as we'll preview boys state basketball here today, and then look at Big 12 men's basketball tournament, and one of the most prominent head basketball coaches in the college ranks will not be coming back next year, and we'll talk about that on the sports ticket today. Hopefully it's going to be a shorter sports ticket, because I want to get ready for games today and tomorrow and through the weekend, since I won't be here tomorrow. So we do have a recap of yesterday's high school basketball, and St. John's Tipton winning over Central Christian 45-40 in the first round of the 1A Division II girls state tournament. They were led in that game by Carly Brummer and Ella Wiles. It's a recap of what happened yesterday. Central Christian actually jumped out to a 7-0 lead in that game. Carly Brummer then would hit the first basket of the game, a three-pointer with 4:13 left in the first quarter. And then from there, the Lady Jays offense would actually kind of wake up. They trailed 9-8 at the end of the first quarter, but they would fight all the way back and actually take a lead by halftime. They led by four. And then led 34-26 early in the fourth. Central Christian scored four straight to cut the lead to four. And then you heard that three from Katie Brummer that gave the Lady Jays a 37-30 lead. They made it 39-30. Central Christian got back within four on a 5-0 run, cut the lead to three at 41-38 before the Lady Jays were able to do just enough down the stretch to seal the win. Had that three-point lead and missed a couple free throws. And you're like, okay, you just need one of these. And Carly Brummer made one of them to get it to a four-point lead. And then they ended up winning it by five on a layup by Carly. To give them that five-point victory over Central Christian to move on to the semifinals. Carly and Ella Wiles were our co-athletes of the game from S&S Drug and Home Health in Beloit. Wiles kept things going in the first half, scoring eight of her ten, while Brummer battled early foul trouble, and then Brummer was big in the end, scoring six of her 13 points in the fourth quarter. Wiles also got the block of the game from H&R Block in Beloit, the connection of the game, and assist from Aubrey Gingler to Emma Jones on a bucket in the second quarter. Connection of the game coming from Cunningham Telephone and Cable, so Central Christian senior Kaylee Coppin scored a game-high 19 points, but needed 15 shots to get there. Emery Bowman added 11 for the Letty Cougars, who finished their season at 16-8. Again, St. John's Tipton now 21-4, and will face Hanover, who's 24-0 in the semifinals of the 1A Division II state tournament Friday afternoon. 2 o'clock pregame, 1:45 on Katy Country 94, as we mentioned. We were able to catch up with Leah Bergman, head coach of the Letty Jays in the postgame, and she kind of talked about that slow start and overcoming that to get the win.
We want to come out fast and furious, but we understand that it's not a sprint. Whoever's winning at the end of the first quarter is not always the winner at the end of the game. So, you know, 4 8-minute quarters is a long time. I know it seems like sometimes it goes by fast, but that's a long time of basketball. So I just reminded them, get yourself composed. We got a long game. We've been down 15 at halftime and against Sylvan and came back and won. So we've been up by 15. You know, we're used to kind of getting ourselves in a hole, but then kind of getting in a groove, getting ourselves settled down, and then getting going. So, once that first quarter was out of the way, it called timeout. We got a couple shots.
Yeah, they got shots to fall eventually, and they ended up winning again 45-40. You can hear toward the beginning of that cut that I forgot what profession I'm in and just decided to clear my throat with a hot mic. So, yeah, that was fun. St. John's Tipton again winning at 45-40 to move on to the semifinals. Now, the other two quarterfinals, well, one was rather interesting. Did you see what happened in the Pawnee Heights game?
I read about it there, and I mean, you know, it happens every once in a while. We kind of get a sub-state that's not as competitive.
Well, and I'll talk about that, but I want to tell you what happened last night, too. So I got done. I got all my stuff packed up. And obviously, one of the perks of being in the media at a state tournament is to go to the hospitality room, right? Mm-hmm. Well, the hospitality room is just right off from the press box. And if people are familiar with the press box at Great Bend, it's kind of attached to the other side where there's a pool on the other side. And then there's the gym on the front side that you're looking at the basketball court. Well, when you go into the hospitality room, the windows are still there kind of as an extension of the press box in this room. And so I sat down. I had a bowl of chili, whatever. And the guy in front of me was like, am I in your way? And I'm like, no, this is not going to be a good game. Yeah. And it's like, I'm not here. I said, I can see the scoreboard and this end of the floor. That's good enough
right,
for me.
Right.
It's 20-0, whatever. It just keeps adding up. And then it's just like right at the end of the first quarter, this girl for Pawnee Heights tries to take a charge. Well, let me give you a little background here on Pawnee Heights. They have six players on their roster, and their best player, Olivia Haynes, averaging about 20 points a game, did not play. She was out with an injury and couldn't play, and so they're down to five. Well, this girl tries to take a charge, hits her head on the court, and cannot come back into the game. Like, she stayed suited up. They brought her back out like 10 minutes later, but she just sat on the bench the rest of the game. Mm-hmm. So they're playing 4-on-5 at the state tournament without a 20-point scorer on their team, and their sixth player doesn't play a lot, to be completely honest with you. And so the sixth player had to start, and now they're down to four. So you're playing 4-on-5. Nobody's in a good position in this situation here, and it's just not what you want. Lebo was up 41-0, and the Hands girl's younger sister got a layup right at the buzzer at the end of the first half to make it 41-2. Ended up being 56-12. I would extend upon what Jason is saying. You'll get a sub-state like that, but we can fix that.
Yeah. Well, that's,
we don't need substation.
What I
like
meant
that.
By that, that's what gets us started.
I know.
Yeah, and then you have the injury, and then you have it was going to be the 1-8 game anyway, you know. And so that's what gets started, and then you have the injury, and it just gets a little, you know, unfortunate there. You know, I don't know what Lebo does in that situation, you know.
Well, they played with one defender in the corner for the whole, basically the rest of the game. They didn't have to do that on offense because they were getting steals and runouts, and most of their points weren't coming in half court sets anyway.
Right.
But
yeah,
they were playing one defender just standing in the corner. It was 4-on, so it could be basically 4-on-4. Mm-hmm. You could technically say, somebody was telling me, like, that I was talking to at the game, they're like, I don't think they can play with just four. And I'm like, well, you can play with just four if you have somebody foul out. So I'm guessing if you start with five and there's an injury, you can play with four.
As long as you start with five.
Yeah. It's like, I don't think there's an issue there, because if you can do it when you're all fouled out and you only have four left, then you can do it. So I don't know that I would have wanted to do it in that situation.
No,
but yeah, I mean, I get your point about, you know, it's a 1-8 game. It's a sub-state that they won, and you will get that. But listen, there is an easy solution to this, and the state doesn't want to hear it. They don't want to fix it. They don't want to do anything about it. Pawnee Heights had no business being at the state tournament at 10-13. I don't care if they did the whole process and won their sub-state. Listen, Wilson was, what, 15-6 or something going into that? I can look that up real fast, actually. But Wilson should have beat Pawnee Heights in the sub-state championship game. And we wouldn't have to worry about that part of it. And I don't believe Wilson wouldn't even have been the 8 seed. So somebody else would have been playing Lebo. It wouldn't even have been Wilson had they won that game. So I just – and, yeah, this is my problem with this whole thing. And I'm not trying to pile onto Pawnee Heights because it's not their fault.
Right.
What I will say is – if you lose just one player, listen, it was 24-0 before they were down to four players.
Mm-hmm.
If you lose just one player at the state tournament and you can no longer compete at all, what are we doing?
Right.
This is state. It's the last 8 teams left. What are we doing? They would have been 17-6, Wilson, had they beat Pawnee Heights. So they would have been not the number 8 seed. They'd have had a better seed, and Lebo would have been playing maybe somebody that could have given them at least a bit of a challenge, probably Sharon Springs, who was the 7 seed, as I pull that bracket up. Because, you know, Sharon Springs, well, yeah, because Sharon Springs then would have been the 7. It would have been a rematch, actually, between St. John's Tipton and Wilson, as I'm looking at the bracket right now.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing that St. John's Tipton's kind of, well, I don't know. Wilson might have been easier than Central Christian for them, to be completely honest with you, based on their matchups this season. They played twice, and St. John's Tipton kind of handled both of those games. So had Wilson actually won that game and not Pawnee Heights, it would have been Sharon Springs playing Lebo, and then it would have been Central Christian against Hanover, and St. John's Tipton would have played Wilson in a rematch. But that would have been a better bracket and records and things of that nature. I don't know that it would have been a better situation for the tournament as a whole. You'd still have a blowout between Lebo and Wallace. Listen, yeah. I saw Sharon Springs Wallace County play yesterday. Lebo would beat them as bad as Hanover did. So, but that's the thing for me is, first of all, when you split it into two divisions, that waters it down. But still, even in a split, look at what you're doing with 6-5 and 4A. Seed this thing east and west, and Pawnee Heights doesn't make the state tournament. And that's what aggravates me is like, okay, you had six girls. I'm happy for Pawnee Heights. It was their first ever state tournament appearance. Congratulations. And now your best player is not playing, and you're down 24-0 with five, and then you have to play the rest with four because there's a head injury.
I skimmed just a little bit of an article. It's like, well, they had to talk some, a girl that didn't want to play at the beginning of the season, just didn't want to play basketball. But she saw that what was going on, and if you're that dangerously close to, an injury or two, so she's like, well, I'll go out. And she didn't really want to, but to let her friends keep playing, she went out and was an extra player for that team. And, of course, ended up, finishing the game out there and scored her first points of the game. I didn't read it real close. I just kind of skimmed it, but that's a tough situation. And, it kind of feeds if that team is capable of winning, and they had a losing record coming into the sub-state. And I get it. You don't want to eliminate anybody. Everybody has a chance at the beginning of the sub-state to get through.
And they did what the system asked them to do.
Yeah. You can't take that away from that team. It's just a matter of you want it just a little bit different. You want a little more competitive. It gets really complicated up in Nebraska. They're trying to avoid that. For the longest time, there was a Humphrey and Humphrey St. Francis, and then there was another team in there. A lot of times, all three of those teams would be in the top five, and so they implemented a wild card. Well, that wasn't quite enough, and so then it just so now they make it really complicated. You go through this system, and they have these power points, and then the best teams that have lost get back into it. And then they seed them from there. And so it gives some of the better teams a second chance. But is that 100% fair over some of, an average team that does it right? Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it gets complicated. You want the best teams at state. But I mean, like you said, there are ways to fix it. But if you don't want to do it, I don't know what's going to happen.
No, I mean, and that's the thing is like, okay, I understand that. Okay, there's too many 1A schools, according to the schools that are in Class 1A, so they split it. And so, that's fine, but figure out a way. I mean, I'm going to leave it at that because I'm not going to talk about the boys' bracket. But it's just, you can fix it. That's what I'm saying. And it's just I think it's an embarrassment for the state tournament if you lose one girl. That team that made state cannot compete because they lost one player.
Right.
And listen, I know they only had six on their roster, but again, in a different format and a different system, they're not at state and they're probably not even in the sub-state championship.
Right.
And so in a different system with 1A, there'd be some places where you'd still have like a six team bracket, probably maybe five with a bye and then four they're playing out. Nothing's going to be perfect because there's not a round number in either division in 1A.
And we see it sometimes in all the way in the biggest league that the biggest league that any of us follow, the NFL. Sometimes there's just that division that's bad, and they sneak in with 7-9, or I guess now 8-9, and they're just not quite as good. But for whatever reason, all the good teams get to one division, and all the mediocre teams are in another division, and it doesn't happen often, but it's often enough to for us to remember. And you know, sometimes you don't want to overcorrect that either. So I don't know the exact answer, but like you said, there are options out there to do. And like you said, seeding it might not be the.
Yeah, I mean, if 6-5 and 4A systems didn't exist, then I wouldn't even say anything about that part of it. But it's in place in your literal association right now. But you and just want to appease the upper class schools apparently and not care about the lower class schools. There's you know, proposals that are out there right now for 3A to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, that can trickle down and be the same type of proposal for 2A and 1A in Division 1, Division 2. So,
and I know we're going to talk about 4A to 6A travels less because it's more condensed in the eastern part of the state. And if you try to do it the same way for 1A.
It's not in the west.
Right.
I mean, people from Dodge City are going to Topeka for playoff games.
Yeah, it's not perfect.
It's easy to say that for the east, but it's not for the west. Like, the teams that are, like, Newton had to go to Emporia to play when my nephew was playing. Like, there's 36 teams in 5 and 6A and 4A.
Yeah.
So, basically, they seed east and west 1 through 18. Well, the 17 and 18 don't make the postseason.
Right.
And so my nephew's team was bad his senior year, and they didn't make the postseason. They had to go to Emporia from Newton just to play a non-playoff game that meant absolutely nothing. And I know Dylan was like, nah, we ain't doing it. Like, yeah, he had to go play it, but it's like, what are we doing here? And that, I mean, that Newton to Emporia is not a long trip.
Right.
But what I'm saying is it's not right next to each other. And,
yeah.
And so when you're talking about the West, I mean, you got to pull 6, 7, 8 teams from the East in these classes to make a West.
Yeah.
Wichita's part of the West. Yep. Wichita's not Western Kansas. So it's just like no system is going to be perfect. So I just – if you can't talk to me about travel either. Not even a little bit.
No, no system's perfect.
I'm not saying you are. I'm saying that's going to be an excuse.
That is going to be the –
that's going to be something they're going to talk about is travel.
Yeah.
Osborne and Rock Hills had to drive all the way to Washington to play a sub-state semifinal, okay? Mm-hmm. And we talk about travel. Come on. Northern Valley went to Tescott for sub-state.
Yep.
So fix it. Figure out who's east. Figure out who's west. Fix this. Because this is embarrassing for a state tournament.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Again, congratulations to Pawnee Heights for making it to state the first time with just 6 girls on their team. Impressive. But when you take one of those 6 away and you can't compete even a little bit, and I realize Lebo's number one in the state, they're 24-0 for a reason, right? They're really, really good. Lebo and Hanover, without question, the 2 best teams at that state tournament. I know I'm covering a team at that state tournament, but I think everybody would agree after what we saw yesterday, those two teams are head and shoulders above the rest right now. I'm not saying St. John's Tipton can't go out and upset Hanover tomorrow. It's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is if you look at the teams top to bottom, you know that those two teams, Hanover doesn't, there's no drop off from like 1 to 7 from what I saw yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and Lebo's probably the same, but I didn't actually get to see how good they were because they were just steals, layups, runouts, easy offense, things of that nature of the little bit that I actually got to watch in the game. So anyway, I probably spent enough time on that, but it's just fix it, Keisha. Start seeding things 6 through 1A. Like, this is not hard to figure out. Buckland beat South Haven in the other game yesterday, 44-35. So it'll be Lebo against Buckland in the semi, St. John's Tipton against Hanover coming up. St. John's Tipton has automatically another game coming up on Saturday, whether they're playing for the championship or third place. We will find out tomorrow. Phillipsburg girls stay undefeated at 24-0. They beat Riley County 40-27. Goodland stays undefeated at the 3A state tournament as well at 24-0. 53-48 win over Frontenac. Some challenges there for those two teams, but they seem to be on a collision course to play for the state championship for the second year in a row. Goodland beat Phillipsburg last year at 3A state. They've got a very long winning streak because they were unbeaten last year, if I remember right. Cheney beat Eureka 54-48, so Phillipsburg will play Cheney. Goodland will play Silver Lake in the semifinals tomorrow. Silver Lake beat Santa Fe Trail 72-41. TMP Marion boys out of the Mid-Continent League beating Horton 52-27. They're 22-2, and they'll play Moundridge in the semis. Moundridge won 63-31 over St. Mary's. Full brackets again for state basketball at ncksports.com. All right, we move on now to today's action. The St. John's Tipton boys on the court to open out the state tournament tonight. The Blue Jays, number 3 seed at 19-5 against number 6 seed Lebo, which enters at 16-7. And St. John's Tipton's making their 5th state tournament appearance. They'll tip off against Lebo at 8 o'clock tonight, pregame at 7:45 on Katy Country 94 and katycountry94.com from Barton Community College in Great Bend. And we had a chance to talk with Lance Bergman ahead of the state tournament, the head coach of the St. John's Tipton boys. I'm going to tell you, he talks more than his wife. This interview is going to be longer than Leah's yesterday. I had to get my shot in on Coach Bergman there. Here's Lance Bergman previewing state basketball today. And back on Katy Country 94 Sports with Lance Bergman, the head coach of the St. John's Tipton Blue Jay boys basketball team. Coach, getting set for the state tournament here as you open out with Lebo coming up on Thursday here with that state tournament action. So we're playing this on Thursday, so that'd be today. But take me back first to the sub-state championship there against Northern Valley and getting your team to this point. Obviously, you had the tough matchup with Thunder Ridge that you're able to get by and get the win in overtime there. But Northern Valley coming back after that, you kind of always wonder how the kids are going to respond. But I know you like that matchup a little bit better even for your squad. What were your thoughts of the way the kids performed there to finish out sub-state?
Well, you're absolutely right, Dusty. You and I talked about it, I know, a little bit on air, but definitely off air, because we knew we had to get to that point. But I felt like it comes down to matchups at this point in the season. I mean, we've talked about it. You watch the NCAA tournament, you know, teams get ranked. It's all about how you match up. It doesn't necessarily matter what your records are. I mean, it's about who you play, things like that, how you play, the style you play. Can you defend a certain way? And Saturday, it boiled down to that. I mean, the Thunder Ridge game, we knew they were – we knew what was going to hurt us. They were going to beat us inside, and if they got inside, we were going to struggle. And we got down. We didn't hit some shots. We knew we were going to have to struggle. They were going to make us hit some outside shots. We knew that going in. So then in the fourth quarter going down, we knew our best advantage was put them back at the free throw line. We beat them earlier in this year, and if you ask Coach Brantz, they talked about, hey, you know, we missed free throws. We worked on free throws all week. That was part of our plan, is we were going to foul them if we were behind and needed to come back. So fortunately, it worked out. Obviously, they missed a lot more than they would have liked, but at the same time, it allowed us to be aggressive defensively and start playing the way we needed to from the get-go, and we didn't for 3.5 quarters. And then finally in the fourth quarter, it was like, all right, I don't care if you foul. I want you to foul, so go get after it. And then they carried that mentality from Friday night into Saturday. I mean, we hit – as soon as that tip came Saturday, you could tell the kids were ready to go. They were focused there. They just carried all that momentum in. And they were just working so hard. I mean, our press was as good as it's ever been. We were cutting off the backside. It looked open, and we had kids flying all over the place, hitting the floor. I mean, the energy level is just there. And it all started from the fourth quarter against Thunder Ridge. And then we shot the ball extremely well. I mean, Edward had two good nights at the end of the fourth quarter in overtime, and then just pretty much the entire night against Northern Valley shooting the ball. Josh Towner stepped up and was amazing. You know, offensively hit a bunch of shots, shot with confidence, and not only do that, he shut down the Salem kid and only gave him 5 points, and it was really only one field goal that he made. He made 3 free throws, so that was awesome. Jacob was able to get him back. We lost him against Thunder Ridge, which I really didn't feel good about that once he went out. I thought he was the one factor in that was going to help us with size. So he went down, you know, after playing for about a minute. He was out for the rest of the game. He managed to come back Saturday. You could see the pain that was on his face, but he fought through it, not only for himself, but for his team. And that's, I think, what's made us so good and think so well, is we just play as a team. We play for each other. And that, you know, that's what happened. And he came out several times to coach, I need out. I take him out. He'd, you know, suck it up just a little bit. So coach, I'm ready to go back in. He went 4 for 4 from the field. I think he had 6 rebounds, no turnovers. And just did an excellent job. And, I mean, Daniel, he did what I asked defensively. We knew that we were mismatched inside with Jacob being hurt, so we had to really step up. He did an excellent job. Luke Bates defended one of their big guys, their shooters, really, really well. And then, you know, Coven, Tyson, those guys went back and forth on one of the other offensive players, did really well. And then, I mean, Nicholas Newell gave me just a couple minutes here, got a steal and a layup. It was huge for us. So all around, it was a great team game. Executed everything we talked about, and it was a matchup that we thought we could compete with our defense. And all we had to do was make sure we kept them out of the 3-point line, and then just, you know, hope they miss shots. And that's what you can hope for as a coach. You know, hope you make it, and then hope they miss it. And that just happened to that did happen Saturday, and hopefully we can continue to do that as we, you know, keep shooting at this state tournament, but the big thing was execution. The matchup was better for us. I really felt like it was Northern Valley was just one of those that we messed up with well. So obviously I was fortunate enough that it worked out. So hopefully we can get a good matchup with Lebo, but obviously we're going to talk about those here in just a few seconds, but they're a really good basketball team.
Yeah, Lebo's a team with the Grimmett kid and the Shoemaker kid that are averaging they're both averaging over 16 points a game for them. What do you need to do to slow them down?
Man, that's going to be tough. They're two different style of basketball players, and that's where, you know, Joshtown is the guy we go to, okay? And, of course, as we found out this week, he came down with strep throat, so he might be a little limited on energy level throughout this, but we got to pick which one we're going to put him on. Obviously, I'm going to try to put him on the one that I think is the most effective that we need to shut down, and that's going to be the Grimmett kid. He shoots the ball extremely well from the outside. He's kind of their horse pulling the sleigh, but a lot of coaches have told me that the Shoemaker kid may be the best player on the team and may even be the best player in their league over there. So that's going to be tough. So Coven, you know, and Tyson are going to have a real, real big matchup there. And then we're going to rotate in on the Grimmett kid as much as possible. Usually if they only have one guard that's just really dominant, we do a pretty good job being able to take away that. So now we've got to do it with two. And the problem is their big guy inside, he's no slouch either, real similar to Jacob, and posts up well, and he takes advantage of people either helping or not being able to double down on him because you're worried about their two guards. You know, not necessarily a matchup that I would have chose. I mean, they're coming out of a really tough league, and I know there's been some heat going on this week about just what's been said on there and things, but, I mean, there's a lot of truth to our league is not one of the stronger leagues that's out there. I know the TVL is obviously one of the very tough ones. Well, these guys come out of an extremely tough league themselves in the LCL, and I mean they've got two maybe three losses against Olpe. And if anybody pays any attention to 1A basketball, whether it's D1 or D2, should know that Olpe's a stud basketball team, and mm-hmm. and they were in all those games with them, if that tells anybody how good this team actually is. So when you're getting two or three losses right there, I mean, you know, you get pushed down in the rankings or in the tournament seedings. It's just like us. You know, we've got five losses, and only one of them is a 1A school, and it's Osborne. We had the lead, but it was a tough loss in a league matchup that's always really good. So records are really deceiving at this time of year, especially if you come out of leagues like that. So, you know, we got a game plan. Obviously, we're going to try to execute it better than them. But watching film, I've got some really good film that I watched. They're really kind of a spitting image of us the way they play defense. I mean, they're aggressive. They help really well. And they're just a really good basketball team. And let's be honest, Dusty, it should be, okay? It shouldn't be like you go out to the state tournament. It's like, oh, I get to, you know, relax and not have to worry about this, and then I get an easy matchup or something like this. That's what state basketball is supposed to be about. So we're really excited for the opportunity. And, you know, we the good part is in our sub-state championship, that felt like a state game, and it probably was, to be all honesty, with the number two ranked team in the state playing the 10th ranked team at the end of the year. So really we had a state quality basketball game, which is an advantage, I hope, for us, you know, just having to do that rather than somebody that might have got an easier route there. So we're really excited. I think Lebo finished number six ranked in the Coaches Association. Like I said, we're the 10th ranked team. So the coaches know that this is a really good basketball team.
Lance Bergman, coach of the St. John's Tipton Blue Jays here on Katy Country 94. Coach, thank you for the time, and best of luck as you open out the state tournament against Lebo.
All right, thank you, Dusty.
Yeah, St. John's Tipton and Lebo tonight here on Katy Country 94. Pregame coverage at 7:45 and tip-off at 8 o'clock. First game of the day, early in the day at 2 o'clock this afternoon, the Southern Cloud Boys making their first ever state tournament appearance on the boys' side. Am happy for Coach Roger Perkins and Ryan Perkins. They've worked with the group. Hey, I mentioned to Jason and I did the Southern Cloud St. John's Tipton games, and he did the girls. I did the boys that night, and I actually talked with Coach Bergman. I said that team actually is going in the right direction. They're playing well. They play within what they know and what they have, And they didn't even have Levi Cool at that point. He was still out with injury. So he came back, and he knew that that team would be good. But, I mean, some of the teams they're playing are just a little bit better than them, right? They lost by six to Osborne in the regular season game. So that you know that they could compete. And much like Pawnee Heights, they got a very favorable sub-state and ended up with a winning record at 12-11 going into state because they did get that first round bye and then won a couple games there. Listen, they had to fight against Central Christian. They had to fight from behind against Central Christian to come back and win that sub-state championship. So I do congratulate Southern Cloud on making it to state for the first time ever. Glasgow and Miltonville made it in the past. I think Miltonville had one state tournament appearance and Glasgow had five before the cooperative started. They're still not consolidated, but the cooperative and Glasgow last made it in 1988 as just Glasgow High School. So Southern Cloud is going to state. Congratulations. You have made it to state. You get to play Greeley County, the state champions from last year. They're number one in the state all year. Northern Valley got them right at the beginning of the second semester. I don't know how. Northern Valley's good.
Northern Valley's good.
St. John's didn't beat them by 15, though. Yeah. I don't know if some things happened throughout the season, maybe some injuries in Northern Valley just wasn't as good as they were. I have no idea. I didn't cover Northern Valley. So, but
for some
Greeley
of you
County,
teams that are
one.
Sitting there at 500 or maybe even a little bit below, look at Greeley County. Greeley County, it was 3 or 4 years ago. Maybe they weren't that good.
And it goes in cycles because a little bit before that, they were really good.
Right.
They won the state title. I've got it all.
Yeah.
Alex, I've got so many numbers that have gone through my brain over the last 3 days, I can't remember all the years.
They had some struggles, and they weren't that great, but they just got better and better individually and as a team. And, sometimes you get the right class and you have the right numbers, I got a good coach down there too, so they're going to be tough out. But good luck to Southern Cloud. It's going to be tough, but Southern Cloud's kind of a unique team. There's not a lot of teams that have that size and
they're
that
like
strength.
Every guy on their team is like 6'2", and it's like, how does that happen?
And some of those guys are pretty strong, so they're kind of a unique
team.
Levi's
a good shooter too, and when he came in, I mean, obviously it made that team better. There's no question, but you've got a hell of a game in front of you here for Southern Cloud against Greeley County. Josh Gooch is their coach, and thanks to Josh, who actually responded to my email with a lot of information. There are some coaches that it's amazing to me, like, that coaches don't understand. We're not doing this just for fun and to give your information to other people. We're here to promote your athletes, okay? Right. We're here to promote them. And Josh Gooch, credit him. He doesn't have his stats on MaxPress, but he gave me everything I needed, gave me all the stats I wanted. Jackson Brandle, if you've not heard his name, I don't know if you're living under a rock. You just don't follow high school sports in Kansas. 2,000-plus career points in his career. He's 24 rebounds away from 1,000. So if you figure plays three games, he's got to average 8 rebounds a game to get to 1,000 rebounds in his career. And if he's doing that, I think that's right close to his average. I was going to pull up their stats just to tell you a little bit about who Southern Cloud is playing today, as Brandle is averaging 25.8 points a game, so just under 26. He, again, has scored 2,000 points in his career. And, he doesn't shoot an inordinate amount of threes. He's 37-89 from threes, 70% free throw shooter. He's made 62 free throws, but just steady and shoots 60% from the floor. He has shot 89 threes out of his 389 shots. 300 shots are not threes.
Right, 302
he is shooting 60%. 66% from two. And so when you have more two-pointers, your percentage better probably, and it will go up. Yep. But that's insanity. He's shooting 66% from two-point range. And I was going to check his rebounds. I don't have averages on rebounds, so I've got to do that 232 divided. He's averaging a double-double.
Right.
So he has 232 rebounds in 22 games. So he's got to average 8 over the next – I'm assuming they're going to beat Southern Cloud today. Call me crazy for that assumption. good luck to Southern Cloud today. But Greeley County likely moving on, so Jackson Brandle will probably have 3 games to do this. And who knows how long he's going to play. And that's the thing, too, is like Coach Gooch is like, hey, he has all these numbers and did most of it playing basically a half of basketball most of the last 2 years.
Yep.
And he's like, it's really – insane what he's been able to accomplish because he's not playing 32 minutes.
And like you said, Coach Gooch was very generous with what he gave. That's just a, you know, to future coaches or current coaches out there, we're not giving away free throw percentages or anything like that to other teams. We don't have time to do that. An extra phone call or two. We're not going to do that. That's not what we're doing. We want to, you know, highlight what's going on and we promote your kids too. So
yeah,
you know,
crazy thing, volleyball season. I'll send out emails on Saturday or Sunday, getting ready for next Friday, the tournament Friday, Saturday, like 5-6 days away, and I get books from volleyball coaches about info. And part of that is they're just happy they're being covered because there's a lot of places that obviously don't do what we do with play-by-play volleyball. So, yeah. I work with what I've got. I'll tell you right now, getting ready for this Lebo game tonight, I have very little information about Lebo as far as this year's team. I can tell you about their state tournament appearances, what their record is, what they are at home, who their coach is, things, who their players and starters are. Their three leading scorers are the only scoring averages that I have for Lebo. Yeah. So, but again, it is what it is. You take what you get, and especially at state when you don't know a lot about the teams going in. That's why I like that information, though, because I kind of would like to know who I'm talking about going into the state tournament. So, again, Southern Cloud plays Greeley County today, and then the other games at 4 o'clock, number 4 seed Stafford, 18-5, facing 5th seed South Central, which is 17-7, followed by number 2 Axel at 20-4 against number 7 seed Buckland, who's 15-9. That's at 6 o'clock. I'll probably go on about 5:50 on our sister station, KNDY, out of Marysville. You can find that on the KNDY app on your smartphone, KNDYradio.com. You can find that if you're interested in listening to that game and seeing who St. John's tipped and might play should they get a win over Lebo coming up in the 8 o'clock game here on Katy Country 94. Big thanks to all of you, the listeners here this week for high school hoops. Also of note today, Class 3A boys Southeast Saline from the NCAA against Perry LeCompton at 6 o'clock in Hutchinson, and again 3A boys, and then MCL 2A girls. Hoxie is the number 7 seed taking on 2C Berrien Academy. Again, full brackets, everything you need to know about the state tournaments can be found at ncksports.com. There was one other local thing that came down this morning, and we'll touch upon this. And just briefly, Lincoln football coach Dustin Petit's resignation was accepted at the USD 298 board meeting, leaving the Leopards with an opening for head football weights and physical education for next school year. That's coming from John Betts down at Kansas Pregame. John, I thank you for mentioning me in all those tweets here this week. I've been busy and haven't been able to cover it to the full potential I might like to, but John's all over it with the area as well, and obviously living down there in Lincoln. And then from Smith Center, he was able to get that information out real quick about the new Smith Center coach. And again, Dustin Petit, don't know where Dustin will end up going or where he's headed, but we thank him for his time while he is at Lincoln. And before that, he had stints at Logan Palco, Canton Galva, whatever it might be, and obviously was an assistant coach at St. John's Tipton, kind of where he got his start in the coaching ranks here in the state of Kansas and around the area. So if I recall, he might have been an assistant somewhere before he came to St. John's Tipton or was at Tipton, and then left for the Logan Palco job to be a head coach after that stint with St. John's Tipton. So Dustin Petit, his resignation was accepted by the USD 298 Board of Education. All right, that wraps up the local sports portion. Again, ncksports.com is your home.
As we head into what, Big 12 tournament talk?
Yes.
Got a little bit more breaking news. Kansas men's basketball coach Bill Self is hospitalized and will miss today's Big 12 tournament game, according to KU Athletics. Did not release the specifics about his condition, only to say he is recovering from an illness, and they say he's doing well and receiving great care at the University of Kansas Health System. So Norm Roberts will too.
I was like, hey, I'm going to Kansas City. Oh, I have a KU hospital right in town. Yeah. Hopefully everything's good. So doing well. So, yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that. Yes. KU playing today at 2 o'clock, hopefully on Z96 Point through the lake. Can't promise that. We're off the air right now. Hopefully we'll be able to get back on. If not, I think we can get that game on Katy Country 94 and kind of work around it. I'll double check and see if that's what the boss wants to do. But we can get it on because I'm not on until later tonight, and it just takes one button to move around, and we'll go over that. But my hope is that by 2 o'clock this afternoon, we'll be able to get Z back up and get it going and have the game there on Z96.3. The Lake KU's playing West Virginia, who won over Texas Tech last night. West Virginia opened with a 78-62 win over the Red Raiders. Kedren Johnson led four players in double figures with 20 points. And, boy, that Texas Tech thing, that's a rough way to end the season, man.
Yeah.
With Mark Adams being suspended here. And I mean, even if they had any single chance of being on an NCAA tournament bubble, they had to win that last night. But at the same time, why would the NIT even want them right now with everything that's going on?
Right.
They're eligible to play in that tournament because they have a winning record, but I don't know if they'll accept an invitation, even if they are, or if the NIT will even extend one because of everything that's going on right now at Texas Tech.
My guess is Texas Tech will not accept an invitation and just call it a year and look for a new coach.
Yeah, it sounds that way.
Yeah,
that's not guaranteed.
Right. Yeah. One of the things I've heard is some of the players have said, you know, this unofficial, obviously, but some of the players have said they're not coming back if he does. So.
Oh yeah. He's not. There's not a lot that shocks me, but that might shock me if Mark Adams steps back on.
Yeah. None of that's official.
None of that's done. I knew what you meant.
Yeah.
This tweet says Texas Tech needs to use the month of March to get its house in order and should decline an NIT bid. I completely agree with that. I don't feel like Kevin O'Banner said, I'm not trying to think about that right now. I mean, our one goal was the NCAA tournament. That's first, and to be honest, nothing second on the possibility of Tech receiving and accepting a bid to the NIT. So nothing's official yet, but, you know, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't invite him if I was the NIT. I'm like, yeah, you good. We're good. You don't have a coach. Yep. I mean, your program's in shambles right now. Just take your time. Get it fixed. Figure it out. Come back next year. Maybe we won't need to invite you. Maybe
some of these conference tournaments are going. They might not have that many invitations to really hand out.
Yeah, fair.
Right.
Well, Oklahoma's done. They lost last night to Oklahoma State, and they don't have a winning record, so they're not in the postseason. They're not going to go to some CIT or CBI type tournament. So Oklahoma lost last night to Oklahoma State. 57-49, OSU will play Texas at 6 o'clock on ESPN2. So, again, Oklahoma's season done at 15-17. And in the nightcap, perhaps the most interesting matchup at the quarter. Finals, number 12 K-State, 23-8, taking on number 22 TCU. The two teams split their regular season meetings. Each team won on their home floor. Tip off 8:30 on ESPN2 for the Wildcats and Horned Frogs. Add it to the list of another game while I'm working I cannot watch. I'll be able to watch the end of it probably, but again, that's where we sit right now with K-State and TCU tonight at 8:30. Can KU against West Virginia? The Mountaineers are now 19-13 as they're trying to build their NCAA tournament resume, too. And I think they're in now after the way they played against K-State, and then they won that first game of this Big 12 tournament. I really feel like West Virginia is fairly solidly into the tournament. It's hard for me to say that and believe that, just kind of the way their conference season started. They still did just go a 7-11 in the Big 12, but at 19-13. Listen, if they win today, there will be absolutely no questions.
Right.
There's a great opportunity today to even build that and make sure that they're not sitting on Sunday maybe feeling like they might be on the bubble. So if they can get that win today, KU obviously going, as we talked earlier this week, for possibly that number one overall seed. So we'll see how that plays out. First game of the day actually is at 11:30 this morning. Iowa State against number 10 Baylor on ESPN. KU and Texas Tech. Pre-game around 1:30, tip off 2 o'clock again, hopefully on Z96 Point through the Lake later today. All right, we wrap. Actually, I'll tell you, the Big 12 Women's Tournament getting underway. First round games tonight, 5 o'clock, 16-15, K-State against 18-13, Texas Tech on ESPN+. And then following that at Municipal Auditorium in Kansas City, 19-10, Kansas against 7-22, TCU, 7:30 in first round action. TCU won one conference game. Not going to tell you who they beat. Oh. The other purple team in the Big 12. I'll just say it like that. All right, the major college basketball story from last night. After 47 seasons, Hall of Fame coach Jim Boeheim will not be returning as a head coach at Syracuse after the Orange lost to Wake Forest in the ACC tournament. Syracuse announced a decision that associate head coach Adrian Autry, who's been on Boeheim's staff since 2011, will be promoted to replace the 78-year-old coach. Boeheim took Syracuse to the NCAA tournament 35 times in his 47 seasons and made the Final Four 5 times. And he won a national title in every KU fan's favorite game in their history in 2003.
Right. Hakeem Warwick.
They ran through the Big 12 gauntlet in the 2003 NCAA tournament, and it finished out with a win over Kansas in 2003. Yeah, Hakeem Warwick. Everybody talks about Carmelo Anthony on that team. And, boy, if Jerry McNamara wasn't there, they would not have that ring. I promise you that. Hakeem Warwick, you know, got the shot on Lee in the corner there. Everybody kind of remembers that from the game because that's just the way. And, well, KU fans remember a lot of missed free throws by Nick Collison too. But, again, I'm not trying to bring up bad memories for y'all, but, hey.
As far as Boeheim goes, you know, 47 years, you know, probably 37 of them really good. The last 10, he was kind of the old man, get off my yard.
He's very much that guy. Yeah. And honestly, this has a lot of Bill Snyder feel to it for me. Like, y'all can do what you want. I'm not going to do it myself. It's basically what it comes down to. I mean, Bill Snyder didn't want to leave when he quote unquote resigned the second time, right? Like, or retired, whatever. Jim Boeheim didn't want to leave. Syracuse Chancellor Kent Severud, I don't know if I said that right or not. Jim has invested, or he said, there's no doubt in my mind, without Jim Boeheim, Syracuse basketball would not be the powerhouse program it is today, clearly. Jim has invested and dedicated the majority of his life to building this program, cultivating generations of student-athletes, and representing his alma mater with pride and distinction. I extend my deep appreciation and gratitude to an alumnus who epitomizes what it means to be forever orange, unquote. After Wednesday's loss, Boeheim hinted that he would be retiring, but he said it was up to the university to decide his future. And this is what I'm not a big fan of, right? Like, if you built this program and you continue to see it go in the wrong direction and you're just sticking around waiting for the university to make a decision, it feels so much like the Bill Snyder situation at K-State football. Boeheim said, quote, as I've said from day one when I started working here, the university hired me and it's their choice what they want to do. I always have the choice of retirement, but it's their decision as to whether I coach or not. It always has been. I've been lucky to be able to coach this long, unquote. He added, I gave my retirement speech last week and nobody picked up on it. There you go. Jim Boeheim out at Syracuse after 47 years. And I agree with Jason. He's been kind of that get off my lawn or whatever, that guy here toward the end of his career. And Syracuse has not had a lot of success here on the back part of the career either. So Jim Boeheim is out at Syracuse as the head coach. So it'll be interesting to see how they move forward with their associate head coach again taking over the job there in Syracuse. Again, like the chancellor said, there's no question Syracuse basketball would not be what it is without Jim Boeheim, and I don't think anybody's debating that or questioning that. But kind of look at the last few years here for Syracuse, and you know, really 13-14 was their last really good year. They went 28-6. They made the Elite Eight in 2011-12, but they forfeited most of those wins. Their official record is 0-3 in 2011-12, but they were 28-6. In 2013-14, that was their first year in the ACC coming over from the Big East, which they're part of all the way from 79 to 80 under Coach Boeheim. They went 28-6 there, and then they've had records of 18-13, 19-9, 19-15, 23-14. I mean, 14 or more losses. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 out of the last 7 years. Last year, 16-17. This year, 17-15. 9-11 in the ACC last year. This year, 10-10. The writing's on the wall there that it's time for Jim Boeheim to head out. But again, he didn't want to do it without Syracuse telling him to do it. And here's where we sit today. Jim Boeheim out as head coach of the Syracuse Orange men's basketball team. Once again, state basketball coming up today on Katy Country 94. Pregame coverage tonight at around 7:45. Tip off at 8 o'clock as long as everything goes right in the games before. And there's not an overtime game that might mess up the time schedule, but they stagger every 2 hours now, which gives you plenty of time to get there and get set and ready to go for the game. Again, St. John's Tipton Lebo tonight on Katy Country 94 and katycountry94.com. St. John's Tipton girls will play Hanover in the semifinals tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Pregame at 1:45 should the Blue Jays boys win tonight, they would then play either Axtell or Buckland tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. So there'd be a lull in between there on the 4 and 6 o'clock games should we have two semifinals tomorrow. So we'll see what happens with St. John's Tipton and Lebo tonight. Again, KU coming up hopefully at 2 o'clock on Z96.3 Through the Lake pregame around 1:30 as they open Big 12 tournament play against West Virginia. Have a great day, everybody.